I know we've spent the morning blaming each other for stuff. I blame Luann, and Dean's blame me, and I'll try and figure out some others to blame. I don't think ants blame each other. We're talking about ants this morning. And the reason we're talking about ants this morning is because God talked about ants. You know, it's amazing, and our God can take even a tiny creature like the ant and teach us lessons about living and working and being united. Proverbs 6:6 tells us to go to the ant. Go to the ant. See what the ants do. See how they do it. Learn lessons from the ants. God is the one who designed the ants with these instincts on how to live and work together. And boy, are there some great lessons in these few verses in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6, we're going to begin in verse 6 through verse 11, and that's going to be the text for this morning's lesson. And it has some tremendous applications and relevance for us here in this congregation. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 6, we're told this by the wise man: "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Which, having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler and your need like an armed man." We are given some great lessons in these verses, and when you look at even what science has discovered about ants, you are amazed at these tiny little creatures. The first lesson is that ants work together as a team. Ants are considered the most successful of all the social insects. When I was reading about ants this week, I was amazed at the different types of ant colonies and sizes of these ant colonies. There have been ant colonies found with up to 20 million ants in one colony. Can you imagine? 20 million ants in one colony. And you think, how in the world could 20 million ants possibly live together? But they do. And they live together because they're unified. They're united in their efforts. We talk about being busy as an ant, because ants, we see them, they're always busy. They're always doing something. God has instilled within them this drive, this work, to a common goal. They work toward a common goal. And their common goal is to provide for the entire colony. Not so much concerned about themselves as an individual ant, but making sure the colony thrives. And of course, especially the queen. So they all have this drive, again, this instinct to pursue this goal of watching over the colony. And if you haven't already guessed what application we can make from that, I don't know what to tell you. Each of us, just like those ants, need to work toward the preservation of our colony. It is absolutely essential. Not that we work toward exalting ourselves, but making sure the colony thrives. That's what the early church did. The early church was not concerned, the individual Christians were not concerned about bringing glory to themselves, but they wanted to see the church thrive. They wanted to see the church thrive. In the very beginning of the church, in the early days of the church, when we go back to Acts chapter 2 and we see the founding, the beginning of the church, notice what it says about the church there in Jerusalem when it was started in Acts chapter 2. Beginning in verse 41, it says in Acts chapter 2, then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, had all things in common. And it says in verse 46, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. See how together they were? They had a common goal. They were working together as a team. They were concerned about the advancement of the church. They weren't concerned about themselves as much as they were about the church. And they were able to accomplish more because they were united. Can you imagine 20 million ants not having this unity that God put within them? Well, they wouldn't survive, would they? Not at all. They couldn't survive. Well, we can't survive either without unity. We've experienced that firsthand. We can't survive without unity. We must have a goal. And of course, each Christian has that same goal. Listen to Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Paul talks about a goal, about being united. In Philippians chapter 1, he writes in verse 27, Philippians 1, verse 27, he says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Notice the unity. You stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together. See, that's exactly what we are called to do. Strive together, stand fast in one spirit, having the same mind. Then things can be accomplished. Good will not be accomplished if we don't do that, if we don't strive together, if we don't have the same mind and the same spirit. So, to build up the church, we need to have this mindset. In Philippians chapter 3, in verse 14, Paul says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press. That means effort. That means work. So for the church here to strive and to reach its goal, there is to be effort. There is to be this striving. There is to be this pressing forward. No giving up. Ants don't give up. They know if they give up, the colony could very well collapse. So they look to doing what's necessary for the colony. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth in the very beginning of that first letter in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul stresses to them this idea of being united. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. And then we'll go to chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 says, now I plead with you, brethren. Notice how important this is to Paul. By the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. There were many in the church at Corinth that were dividing over things. Things that didn't matter. Things that didn't matter. And he tells them that I'm pleading with you to stop having those divisions. You need to have the same mind, the same spirit, the same judgment. Then great things can be done. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul tells that same group of people in verse 31. He says, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. See, it's not about the individual ant It's not about each of us individually as Christians. It's about us working together as the church of the New Testament here in this part of the land. Working together to build up the church. But it's the same mind. It's the mind of Christ. The same gospel. You can't build up the church here by changing the gospel. More people might come, but that's not building it up. So having the same mind, the same judgment, the same spirit, then working together as a team, just like the ants, then the colony can thrive. Then the colony can thrive. So ants work together as a team. The Holy Spirit chose them as an example. Says, look at the ants. Look at how they work together as a team and see what they're able to accomplish. And they're just a tiny little insect. We're God's ultimate creation. Far superior to the ants. God didn't make the ants in His image. He made us in His image. And so we ought to be able to accomplish far, far more than the ants. But we need to learn from them to work together as a team. Number two, ants work efficiently. Again, this week I read about different types or species of ants and the different jobs that they have. Some of the jobs these ants have are really amazing. And of course, God gave them their jobs, their abilities, when He created them. And maybe one of the reasons He created them was to teach us lessons. Because they know what to do, they know their abilities, and they do it. And they have so many different jobs in an ant colony. So many different ones. And again, I was amazed this week when I was reading about all the different types of things that ants do in a colony. And they're very specialized, some of them. But first of all, they don't wait to be told what to do. Like our text says, they don't have an overseer or a ruler or a leader. They don't need one. They don't have to have a supervisor. They don't have to have a manager. They don't need one. Every single ant knows what it's supposed to do, knows its job, so it goes out and does it. Each ant works. Each ant pulls its own weight. They don't periodically have to go to a motivational seminar and hear a speaker. They're too busy to be motivated. They don't have to have someone to tell them what they need to do. They're busy doing what they're supposed to do. And as long as the different ants do what they're supposed to do, the ant colony will thrive. It will thrive. So they don't need to be motivated. They each know how important it is for them to work. Well, we're told the same thing. In James chapter 2, James tells us the importance of us working. In James chapter 2, beginning in verse 17, James writes, "Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." But someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me faith. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works." It says, faith without works is dead. We must work. We are workers in the kingdom. We're workers in the vineyard. The Bible even uses that as an example. We are workers in the vineyard. The grapes won't get picked unless somebody decides to pick them. That ant colony will not thrive, will not succeed, will not exist unless each of the ants does its particular job. The ants suddenly can't decide, well, I'm tired, I'm going to sit down and let someone else do the work. It will not succeed that way. We must work. In James chapter 4, the same book, verse 17, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it's sin. To him it's sin. So if we can do good, if we have the opportunity to do good and the ability, the resources to do good, and we choose not to, the colony will eventually collapse. So each of us must do what we can. Ants work according to their ability. I don't know. I assume it's in their DNA when they're born or hatched. What job they're going to have. They don't go to school to learn an ability. They're born with an ability. Again, it comes from God. He's instinctively instilled within them these various abilities. And so they go about doing their ability. They don't switch jobs. They know who does what. Some ants tend to the eggs in the nest. Some ants are there to protect the nest. Some ants go out and find food for the colony. And of course, some ants are there to protect the queen. And then on and on and on, you find jobs that the ants have. And they don't go about switching jobs. They know what they can do. They know what kind of abilities they have. And that's what they do. The ones who protect the nest don't suddenly decide, well, I'm going to be the one that goes out and finds food, or vice versa. They use their, and they are God-given abilities in the sense that God put that instinct in them. So we are to do the exact same thing. We're all unique. We all have unique abilities. And so God has given us those abilities to use for the kingdom, to make it thrive, to build it up, to move it forward, all of those things. And so he expects us to use them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he made this as clear as a bell. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 12, the Holy Spirit tells us, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Just like that ant colony, made up of all different kinds of workers. But it's all one colony. Well, that's the way we are. We're made up of different kinds and unique talents and abilities, but we're all one body. And our goal, again, is that body. Not making us look good, but helping the body to thrive, to function. He goes on in verse 14, for in fact the body is not one member but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Well, of course not. Just because it says that doesn't change anything. Verse 18, but now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. God has given each of us talents and abilities just as he pleased. I don't know why he gave you the particular talents and abilities he gave. I don't know why he gave the ones he gave me. I have no idea. Other than it pleased him, just like this verse says, just as he pleased. God knew what was best, and that's what he did. And so we are not, like it says here, we're not to look at someone else's abilities and say, well, I'd like to have had that ability, or I could have done this with that ability. He says, uh-uh. He says, you take your ability and you use it for the kingdom, not to promote yourself, but to promote the kingdom. He says, that's what you need to do. God wants his people to do their very best. Everything we do, we are basically putting our signature on it. I have that little quote in my room at school. Very few of my students pay attention to it, but it's there. Everything you do, you know, for them, every quiz they take or every piece of homework they do or whatever, they're putting their signature on it. Well, God wants us to put our signature on it as being the very, very best we can do. Back in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, the wise man tells us this in verse 10. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. He says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going." Once this life is over, we can't change what we've done. We can't change it. But as long as we're alive, we can do what we can with excellence, with all of our might, and that's what God wants us to do. So everything we do reflects upon our Christian character. So use our abilities and use them to the very, very best that we can. And finally, our text back in Proverbs says that ants are concerned about the future. It says, "Ants provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest." Ants provide for the future. When people look at anthills, and of course some of them can be enormous. If you watch some science shows, you've seen some enormous ant colonies. Well, some of these are very organized. They have streets, you know, the different ways that they go, different streets. They have supply rooms where certain food is stored for the winter, and the ants that are gathering it know where to take it. So they are organized. Now again, God's the one that put that skill within them, but He's the one that gives us skills and abilities too. Ants by instinct know that winter is coming. They know that they have to make preparations for it. So they gather, as it says, their supplies in the summer when they're available, when they can go out and work, and gathers the food, the harvest, because they know in winter there won't be any available unless they gather it and store it. Well, the wise man here in Proverbs 6 is warned about becoming a sluggard. "How long will you slumber, O sluggard?" Lazy, sometimes they're called. "How long will you slumber, O sluggard? How long will you just lie down and do nothing? How long will you be lazy?" Proverbs talks a lot about the lazy man, the sluggard. So how can you identify a sluggard? Here's how Proverbs, by inspiration, identifies a sluggard. They sleep too much. In Proverbs 20, verse 13, we're warned in verse 13, "Do not love sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes and you'll be satisfied with bread." So sluggards sleep too much. They sleep too much. Chapter 19, verse 15, "Laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger." So sluggards, they spend too much time lying down. Number two, sluggards make excuses. In Proverbs 22, verse 13, says, "The lazy man," the sluggard, says, "There's a lion outside. I shall be slain in the streets." That's his excuse. Very unlikely that there's going to be a lion outside to kill him, but, you know, "I can't go outside today. A meteorite might hit me in the head." So the lazy man makes excuses. The sluggard can always find an excuse for not doing something. Always find an excuse. Number three, sluggards put off work. Back in Proverbs 10, we're told this about the lazy man, the sluggard. Proverbs chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a wise son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. So they put off work, the sluggard, the lazy man. They give up easily. They blame others. Hey, we've been doing that this morning. They blame others. They don't plan. They make no preparations at all. They don't make any plans. So they put off and put off and put off until eventually they have nothing. And the Bible says that sluggards and lazy people are irritating to others. In Proverbs 10, verse 26, the wise man says, "As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send him." The lazy man is irritating to others because he doesn't do what he's supposed to do. And of course, as a result, the ants, if there are sluggards in the ant colony, that's going to hurt the colony. Ants are industrious. Ants work hard. They work efficiently. They don't waste time. They don't need motivation. They plan for the future. Jesus says, be like the wise virgins in Matthew 25. What was the difference between the wise and the foolish? The wise took extra oil. They planned for the future. They didn't know when the bridegroom was coming. So they took enough oil to last. He says, that's the kind you need to be. Plan. Think. Work hard. Use your talents. Use your ability. We know the bridegroom is coming back. No, we don't know when, but we know he's coming back. So we need to be prepared like the wise virgins. We want the colony to thrive. We want it to survive. We want it to be successful. For that to happen, we need to go to the ants and see what they do. God made them that way, and God wants us to learn lessons from them. And my, how we can. That should be our goal. Do what we can for our church, for the congregation here. Dean has chosen an invitation song for us to think about our own lives. The words of these invitation songs are so important for us to focus on ourselves and if there's a need to respond. And so I encourage you now, as we stand and sing, if you need to respond, to do so. Let's stand, please.